This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent, Sunday, March 22nd, is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put the mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear Christians, members of Trinity Congregation, and neighbors. So this is weird. I'm in the pulpit, but you're not in the pews. And it's going to be this way at least through Tuesday, April 7th. But even though I'm in the pulpit alone and you're sitting at home alone with your computer or your tablet or your phone, I'm still able to preach God's word, you're still able to hear God's word, and Jesus, the Word made flesh, is still with us and always will be, even unto the end of the age. The disciples wanted to know why. Why was this man born blind? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Somebody had to have sinned. There had to be some deep, dark, sinister deed that was lurking behind this man's blindness and causing it. We ask the same question, don't we? We are asking that same question right now, aren't we? Why? Why is there this thing called the coronavirus? Why are so many people getting sick? Why is it so deadly? Is this God getting back at me for some sin I've committed? Is this God punishing our country because we've made breaking the fifth and sixth commandments lawful by legalizing abortion and same-sex marriage? Why? Dr. Paul Robbie, a retired seminary professor from St. Louis, wrote an interesting article about Job. You remember Job, the man who lost all of his flocks, all of his herds, all of his servants, all of his children, and finally his health. Dr. Robbie offers up some answers to the question, why? He points out that sin is the ultimate reason why there is suffering in the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, not only did death come into the world, but pain and suffering and sickness came right along with it, and they've been here ever since. Why was the man born blind? Not because he sinned, not because his parents sinned, but because Adam and Eve sinned. Dr. Robbie also points out that when we ask the question, why, we're not really asking the question, why is there suffering? We're really asking the question, why am I suffering? Why is this happening to me? What is causing the pain that I am enduring or the trouble that I am experiencing? Dr. Robbie offers up three answers to the question, why am I suffering? You may, in fact, be suffering because of a sin you have committed or a sin someone else has committed against you. Suffering can, at times, be the consequence of our own sinful actions and the sinful actions of others. The heroin addict is likely to end up broke, sick, homeless, or dead. The adulterer is on the road to a broken marriage, a fractured family, and financial woes. Chances are the drunk driver is going to get his license revoked, lose his job, destroy his liver, and injure or kill his neighbor. You may be suffering because you are a Christian, because you believe in Jesus and bear witness to him and follow him. Maybe you are shunned by your family or ridiculed by your friends. Maybe it costs you your job or the opportunity to advance in your career. Maybe you're punished by the authorities with fines, imprisonment, and in some cases throughout history, death itself. Jesus calls that kind of suffering a cross. Sometimes we just don't know. You are a sinner, as we all are, but you believe in Jesus. You repent of your sins. You ask and receive from God forgiveness and strength. You're not being persecuted for your faith, and yet you're suffering. Why? Well, God doesn't always tell us why. But he does tell us that all things, including bad things, things like the coronavirus, work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He does use suffering, which itself is bad, to do good things in us and for us. So what was going on with this man born blind? Jesus rejects the idea that he was blind because of some sin that he or his parents had committed. His blindness was not a cross he was bearing for believing in Jesus. But Jesus does tell us why the man was born blind. Listen again to Jesus. Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but he was born blind in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Why was the man born blind? Why did God allow this disability to befall him? So that the works of God might be displayed in him. What did God do for that blind man? What are the works of God that were displayed in his life and through his suffering? Well, for starters, Jesus healed the man. Jesus gave him back his sight. A little mud made of earthly dirt and divine spit, a splash of water from the pool of Siloam, and one little promise from the mouth of Jesus, and the man could see. That's one of the things God does. That's what Jesus came to do, to fix what sin has fouled up in our bodies. And so you see Jesus, during his ministry, routinely turning sick bodies into healthy bodies, hungry bodies into well-nourished bodies, dead bodies into living bodies. It's a foretaste of the resurrection, when sickness and disability and hunger and death will be done away with once and for all in the new heavens and the new earth. But Jesus did more. Jesus not only gave the man his sight, Jesus gave the man the gift of saving faith. That's another thing God does. That, too, is one of his works. Jesus not only opened the man's physical eyes, he opened the eyes of that man's sinful heart to see that he was the Son of Man, the Christ, the promised Savior. The man confessed his faith in Jesus. Lord, I believe. He worshiped Jesus. He not only now had sight, he had a Savior, and he had salvation. So how does this help you? How does this help you as you face the coronavirus? How does it help you answer the question, why is this happening? Why is this illness intruding itself into my country, my community, into my congregation, my family, my body? As long as there is sin in the world, there will be sickness. We heal one and up pops another. We get a vaccine for a virus and then it mutates, or a new one that we've never seen before comes into being. That's just the way this fallen world works. The expectation that we should be able to live our lives untouched by sickness is not realistic, so we just need to get over that. We wouldn't say that the coronavirus is the result of some specific sin, although its effects have been worsened by some bad actors in the world. We may, by our reckless behavior, put ourselves and our neighbors at risk of contracting the virus. But could it be that in this case, too, Jesus wants to display the works that he does? Could it be that even now Jesus is displaying his work of healing? To be sure, people are dying from the coronavirus, and in every instance, that is a tragedy. But more people are recovering from it. Jesus not only heals directly and miraculously, he also works through doctors and nurses who are tirelessly caring for the sick and nursing them back to health. He works through researchers who are looking at old medications and developing new vaccines to battle COVID-19. He works through the governing authorities and public health officials who are trying to give us good information and sound advice on how to avoid contracting the virus. Those too are works of Jesus. But Jesus is also at work, opening our eyes and the eyes of others to see that death is real, our lives are fragile, that we are a handshake or a cough away from serious illness and potential death. He is opening our eyes to see that we need a Savior from sin, a Savior from sickness, a Savior from death, a Savior from the grave. And we have such a Savior. Jesus is such a Savior. Jesus did not distance himself from us. Jesus put himself at risk. Jesus came down from heaven and dwelt among us. The water droplets of mockery and insults covered his holy face. And on Good Friday, he took our illnesses, bore our diseases, and carried our sins in his body up a hill and onto a cross. There on the cross, Jesus suffered. There on the cross, Jesus died. And then Jesus rose to life again. Why? Why? Oh, we know why. To forgive your sins, to win for you life everlasting, to open the gates of heaven to you, to secure for you your own resurrection from the dead, and the endless health and happiness that you will enjoy in the new heavens and the new earth. We don't need to know why this pandemic is happening, but we can be comforted and we can be confident that in the midst of it, in the face of sickness and suffering, death and the grave, Jesus is doing his good and saving work among us and among our neighbors. Jesus is doing what only Jesus, the Savior of sinners, can do. Why? Because he loves you. And always will. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Your hand, O Lord, in days of old, was strong to heal and save. It triumphed over ills and death, o'er darkness and the grave. To you they came, the blind, the mute, the palsied and the lame. The lepers in their misery, the sick with fevered frame. Your touch then, Lord, brought life and health, gave speech and strength and sight, and youth renewed and frenzy calmed, revealed you, Lord of light. And now, O Lord, be near to bless, almighty as before. In crowded street, by beds of pain, as by Gennesaret shore. O be our great deliverer still, the Lord of life and death. Restore and quicken, soothe and bless, with your life-giving breath. To hands that work and eyes that see, give wisdom's healing power. That whole and sick and weak and strong may praise you evermore.